From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Noah Adams. Our lead story is the indictment of Vice President Dick Cheney's chief of staff, Louis Libby, in the CIA leak case. The Justice Department has released the result of investigations by Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald and his grand jury. Fitzgerald is also expected to make further announcements at a news conference at 2 o'clock this afternoon. That would be Eastern Time. And with us now to talk about the political ramifications of all this, NPR's White House correspondent Don Gagne and NPR's national political correspondent Mar Liasson. We'll start with Don Gagne about the White House. No indictment for presidential advisor Karl Rove, everybody adds, as of yet. Would this be, that particular fact, relief or concern for Mr. Bush, given the fact that Dick Cheney's chief of staff has five indictments?
Well, this is a bad day for the White House. Let's be very blunt about that. But if they are looking for a silver lining somewhere, it's that these indictments handed down today do not include one with Karl Rove's name on it. That would have been an absolute catastrophe for the White House, because Karl Rove is often referred to as the architect by the president himself of the president's election victories. He is so closely identified with Mr. Bush's political success and his ongoing operation of the White House that a Rove indictment would have been very, very bad news. That said, Louis Libby is still one of the inner circle within this White House. He is the top aide to Vice President Cheney. He is not only Vice President Cheney's chief of staff, he is his national security advisor. He has been deeply involved in the war in Iraq, making the case for the war in Iraq. And an indictment this high up in the administration is bad news, even though it would have been worse news had Karl Rove been named as well today.
Mar Liasson, let's talk a bit more about Louis Libby. I suppose that Libby would be the first person that Dick Cheney hears from every day.
He is the first person, you would assume correctly, because he gets up before dawn and he's picked up in a car and he's driven over to the vice president's residence, and then they drive together to the White House. So he is the first person the vice president sees. He's been called the vice president's alter ego. So he is the top aide to the person who is widely considered to be the most powerful and influential vice president in history.
And would we be expecting, I've heard this, that he would, if indicted, resign today?
Yes. I think that he has already done that, if news reports are correct. It was widely expected that anyone who was indicted would resign pending their trial. And that's something that, even though the president hasn't announced that he would have expected that, he's only said that anybody who commits a crime, in other words, convicted, wouldn't be working for him. But yes, that he would no longer be working for the White House while he prepares for his trial. And that's almost a practical matter. I mean, it's hard to imagine how someone could go through what Scooter Libby, Louis Libby, is now going to have to do while also serving the vice president as he did before. So we are getting news reports that he has already resigned, but that was widely expected, as it would be if Karl Rove was indicted.
Sure. Any names to replace him? Who would Dick Cheney be talking to first thing tomorrow morning?
There are some names going around, Noah. There's not an obvious replacement because of how long Scooter Libby and the vice president have worked together, how close they have been. We're hearing one name today, David Addington, is the vice president's counsel, as a possibility. There are not a lot of other names within the White House that immediately come to mind. And, of course, it is also always possible that someone from the outside would come in. And just so you know, Noah, we now have it confirmed that Louis Libby has resigned from his White House post as chief of staff to Vice President Cheney.
Yeah, and it's less important than someone comes from the outside for the vice president's top slot than it is for the more high-profile people who serve the president. In other words, sometimes a change of personnel can send a message to the public, we're getting things under control. But I think in this case, the vice president has his trusted advisors, and it would make a lot of sense to just replace Louis Libby with another one.
Don Gagne at the White House, the president's has 39 months of his term remaining. How does he get above, and he's called this the background noise of these scandals. Now, how does he take a big, deep breath and maybe find new people to sit around the table and just kind of zero sum the second term?
It is going to be very difficult, perhaps made even more so by the fact that even though Karl Rove was not indicted today, he has been told that he is still the subject of an ongoing investigation. So we don't know where that is going to lead. But the special prosecutor continues to investigate Karl Rove. So there is this cloud that hangs over. And we will also at some point down the road here see the trial of Louis Libby, which could involve top White House officials being called in to testify, perhaps even the vice president. But what we will see from the White House is an attempt to compartmentalize. They will try to set this investigation and this scandal over here while they continue to, as the president and his press secretary have said this week, go about the nation's business. But the business they are going about is also very difficult, and the kind of thing that had already driven the president's approval ratings down to all-time lows for him, the lowest he's seen of his presidency. Iraq remains a very difficult situation, and the public has very serious questions about the mission there, and certainly other challenges as well.
Yeah, and you really can't have Karl Rove sitting there advising on what to do about Karl Rove, about that situation.
Exactly, and that's part of the compartmentalization that will take place. But again, expect Karl Rove to stick around until we have a little more, certainly till we have a little more clarity regarding his situation. So he will remain an important advisor to the president on a whole host of issues.
And Mara, let's look now, midterm elections next year. Let's look at the entire political picture. If you're a Democrat someplace, what are you thinking today?
Well, Democrats are very happy about the overall political landscape right now. They see the Republicans beset by all sorts of problems, and it's not just the White House. It's the corruption charges against some top House Republican leaders. And they see that gas prices and the war in Iraq and these continuing scandals and the troubled nomination of Harriet Myers, which was withdrawn, all these things look to them like a hospitable climate for challengers. The Republican Congress is at its lowest ratings right now in public approval. However, the Democratic Party is not reaping the benefits. In other words, it's not a seesaw. So Democrats, I think, are a little frustrated. As the Republicans go down in the public's estimation, the Democrats aren't coming up by a commensurate amount. In other words, their negatives might be a little bit lower than the Republicans, but their positives are not any higher. But if you talk to Democratic officials, they will say that their recruiting for House and Senate races is going very well, and they'll point to a number of high-profile races where the Republicans didn't get the first-choice candidate that they wanted. But it's way, way too early to make any kind of predictions or about how the midterm elections will go. Clearly, what the Democrats would like to do is kind of ride a wave of public dissatisfaction with the incumbent party into office, not unlike the way that Newt Gingrich did in 1994 against the Clinton White House, which at that time was also roiled in scandal and other problems.
Right. Don, I mentioned zero-summing the White House. What if you could roll the thing back to Inauguration Day and State of the Union message and just restart? How would you do things differently if you're Karl Rove and President Bush in the White House?
Well, it's interesting because the things that have them in trouble today are things largely of their own doing. It is the situation in Iraq. It is this leak investigation. It is certainly the response, say, to Hurricane Katrina. Obviously, they had no control over the hurricane. But you could say that many of these things were already in place. Remember, the special prosecutor Fitzgerald's investigation, he started December 30th of 2003. And looking at this release that they've put out today, some of the things that they are accusing Scooter Libby of, where he told false statements and is now facing criminal charges, took place back in 2003. So a lot of this was already in place. Now, go ahead, Mar.
Oh no, I was just going to say one of the things that I'm kind of waiting to see is how do Republicans spin this? In other words, what is the reaction to these indictments? Is it just a simple silence? Nobody's been convicted yet. Let's just wait until we see what justice does for Scooter Libby? Or is it the kind of thing you started to see last weekend, saying, well, lying and obstruction of justice is different than if he was indicted under the, for the charges of disclosing, violating one of the secrecy laws that prevents people from disclosing a CIA operative's identity? In other words, he's not indicted for that. And that was the initial thing that Patrick Fitzgerald was investigating. Now, he had wide-ranging authority. He could investigate any crimes at all. Mm-hmm. But that is the initial question was, did someone in the White House violate one of these rules that says you can't disclose classified information to someone without a clearance, or you can't disclose the identity of an undercover operative? Now, the several Republican senators started suggesting this last weekend on the talk shows, and of course they were immediately asked, well, gee, what about Bill Clinton? He was impeached for just for this kind of crime, obstruction of justice or perjury. So it'll be interesting to see how Republicans handle this. I don't think they can make this prosecutor into a partisan figure, like, for instance, they're trying to do with Ronnie Earle, who is a Democrat in the state of Texas, who is the prosecutor who's indicted former Majority Leader Tom DeLay. Patrick Fitzgerald has been described by the President of the United States as conducting a very dignified investigation.
Thanks to you both, NPR White House correspondent Don Gagne, NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson. We appreciate it.
Pleasure.
We're continuing to follow the story throughout the program, and we'll have more details on the indictments in just a moment after this short break. Also, at 2 o'clock Eastern Time, you can hear an hour-long live special report, including the Fitzgerald news conference, on our website, www.npr.org.